Now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. That phrase there, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God," gave rise to the title that I gave this message today that's in your bulletin. So if we're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, we are delighting the Spirit. And so we want to delight the Spirit. So this is how we're going to work on delighting the Spirit that dwells inside of all the God's people. Your thought for today is this: be the one who holds the church together. You be the one who holds the church together. So as I said, after Paul's encouragement to put away that old way of thinking, earlier in Ephesians, now he's giving examples to the Ephesians. These are some concrete ways that you are to put aside that old man and the ways of the old man, and now put on the ways of the new man. And I want you to continue to keep the concept of what Scripture points to the church as being. And that is, we are to be the body of Christ. Now, we hear that a lot, and we have a concept of that word in our modern English. What does it mean to be the body? Well, many things can be a body. And we talk about assemblies, and so that becomes a body. But there is a more particular meaning to the word body here in Scripture. It's not just a group of people that have assembled together. The body of Christ means that we are to represent the body of Christ, with Christ as the head of that body. The same as you and I have a body, with our head and the brain that controls the functions of that body, Christ as the head of our church, through the Spirit, dwells within us to allow us to represent the thinking and doing of what God wants His people to be. And so that body is a more particular meaning than just a gathering of people. That body is a concept of actually thinking about yourself as working together to continue to give to the world, as humanly possible, bathed in grace, an accurate portrayal of how Christ would live on this earth, how He did live on this earth. So that body there is a concept of unified working together for a common goal of representing Christ. So what are some of the things that will divide that body? We know that in the human body, whenever cells begin to rebel, it causes various illnesses within us that our body has to fight against. And it takes a lot of energy for our body to fight against those cellular rebellions within our bodies. And the same thing happens within the body of Christ, within the church. When there is energy working against Christ that could be put together in a more positive way to show the church, to show the glory of God within the church, then that uses up that spiritual energy and that image gets more tarnished. And so Paul is saying here, I want you not to do these things. And I'm giving you some examples of things not to do, Church of Ephesus. And the first things are those things to avoid ways that separate the body. One of the first things that he brings up here is being truthful, speaking the truth. Lying and not being dependable puts a stress on the body, puts a stress on the unifying nature of what Christ wants our church to be. Because lying separates. Whenever a person cannot be depended upon, then their word has less and less value to it. I was brought up in a house that the thought was, son, the only thing you really and truly have is your word. That's the only thing you really and truly have. And when you lose your word, the value of it, it's a hurtful thing. Because your reputation is something that takes a long time to get back. So be truthful, because in the end you stand on your word. Now I want you to think of that concept of being the body. How do we know God? We know God through His word. If we cannot depend upon the truthfulness of God's word, then there's nothing that's going to hold this body together. What holds this body together is for us to be able to depend upon the truthfulness that we read in our scriptures, that we hear from our pulpits, that we experience in our lives in answer to prayers. If we cannot depend upon the truthfulness of God, then we all just need to go out and find our own way. So we have to depend upon His truthfulness. If we are going to represent Him on this earth, if we are going to be the body of Christ, in a few couple of weeks we're going to have communion. And the body of Christ is going to be represented by that little tiny piece of bread that you hold in your hands. But for all its tiny proportions, that little bit of bread represents a huge concept. Not just the body that hung upon the cross, but the life of truth that was lived here upon this earth. The life of truth that satisfied every jot and tittle, every small bit of the law of God. And because of that, we can stand before God in righteousness by taking on the righteousness of Christ that is ours by coming together with Him in our faith and being joined together with Him in our salvation. And so in that unifying event there of coming to Christ in faith, we are recipients of that righteousness. And so that body then lived upon this earth in a way that reflected the character of God perfectly. This body will never represent the character of God perfectly. Not on this side of glory. But yet we are encouraged by Scripture to strive to be that representation of the life of Christ. And truthfulness is part of that. Lies separate by that lack of trust. That one body concept, remember, we're working together in unison. A small rabbit trail here that I kind of alluded to. Jesus came and He called Himself the way, the truth, and the life. What does that truth mean there? Christ, according to Scripture, is the Word of God made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word took on flesh, John 1. In doing so, God being Spirit, His Word represents Him. Like I said, raised in a household where your Word was who you are. That's what you had. God's Word is who He is. Because in his spiritual nature, he cannot come before us in flesh and blood like he did in Christ. So his word is what conveys his nature. So Jesus now being called that word, as Hebrews says, Jesus is that in that representation of God's nature. So since God reveals himself through his son, Jesus, I hope you're following along the steps here. God reveals himself according to Scripture through his son, Jesus. Because we are called to be more and more like Christ each and every day, resting on grace. Then you and I are called to each and every day reveal more and more of the nature of God. As we overcome the sin in our lives. As we begin to take on the characteristics of God. More and more each day, we too can be like Christ in representing the nature of God and our forgiveness. Truth is the foundation of that. The second concern is anger. I like the way the New Living Translation interprets this particular section. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. The ESV has there, be angry and sin not. Don't let anger control you. Anger is an emotion. So it's there waiting for that right stimulus to bring it out of us. We see something that we don't agree with, anger stirs within us. And so it's there all the time like some wild animal waiting to throw out its rage under that right stimulus. And so we as children of God, we're called to subdue these wild and angry emotions because as Paul says, those kinds of uncontrolled emotions are part of that old way of life. It's not the person that we're called to be now as part of the body of Christ. Much commentary, much scholarship thinks that the anger spoken about here is the anger that we commonly refer to as righteous anger. It is the anger that Christ displayed when he was upset with the way the teachers of the people were leading them astray. It's the kind of anger that he displayed when he knew that the temple was being used for ways that desecrated it. And so he cleansed the temple. He removed the money changers that were taking advantage of the people. He took the animals out of the temple courtyards that was taking away from the holiness of the place. And so that kind of anger comes from what we might want to call a settled mind. It was not wild rage. It was not uncontrolled rage. It was not seething anger that might lead us into destructive patterns of action. It was anger coming from a controlled mind. And so if there can be sin, anger without sin, as Paul's description indicates here, then it is that kind of anger that comes from a controlled mind. Be angry for the right reasons. Be angry for the right reasons, like I shared with Hallie a little bit this morning. Being drawn so close to God in our thinking that we begin to see the world the way that God sees it. We begin to see sin the way that God sees it. We appreciate what we have here when we are drawn together, when the Word of God comes out and it's precious. We have people around the world who put their life in jeopardy because they want to hear the Word. It's that precious to them. They don't come into an assembly and sleep through it. They come because they know that that word is precious. And that word has meaning for their lives. And they put their life into jeopardy by knowing that that word there can change them and give them strength. And they put us to shame in the Western church. When sometimes it's all we can do to come on Sunday mornings and stay alert because of whatever else is going on in our life. And yet, places around the world know how precious God's word is and are willing to put their life on the line to hear it. And how overcome with joy they are when they can hear it in their language. And so if Jesus' body, the church, is to mature, then that type of anger where we see people taking advantage of grace, people taking, allowing anger, allowing their sinful natures to go out in destructive patterns. And that kind of anger, that kind of controlled displeasure with sin comes when we are drawn closer and closer to Christ. When we become more and more like Him. But as I said, and as Paul says here, don't let it linger. And I love this. I've always loved this particular section here where it says, do not let the devil have a foothold. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. All he needs is a crack. If you had a dangerous animal outside of your home that you knew could come in and destroy your family, if there was a dangerous person outside of your home that you knew that could come in and destroy your family, you would do everything you can to be sure your house was secure. Well, folks, there is a dangerous person who is waiting to destroy us all. And he comes before us, as Scripture says, even as an angel of light. As an angel, as an angelic type of expression that wants to give us good things. And he wants to entice us with those good things. And all he wants is to draw us out of our security, which is in Christ, and draw us out where we are vulnerable. Like those videos that you see of how predators try to cut out a person from the an animal from the herd. That's what Satan wants us. He wants us to be separated from the body. And he wants these kinds of things to build up in the body so that separation will happen and that anger will stay with us and it will dwell with us until it becomes hatred. And then it begins to destroy us because it eats away at us. It's not given to God. It becomes part of more of an abundant sinful nature. Not a nature that is surrendered to God. And so don't give Satan the crack that he needs to enter into your home, to enter into your life, because he will take full advantage of it. So the key to this, anger will happen. It's an emotion. But don't let it dwell. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. So those are things that take away from the unison, the unifying nature of Christ. What are some things that build up the body? Verse 28 is pretty straightforward. If you're stealing, stop stealing and start working. Why? So that you will have resources not only to benefit your family, but also to benefit those around you. It's calling for a change of lifestyle, a change of attitude. I am no longer taking advantage of another to secure something that is positive for me, but I am now sacrificing, I'm out working, so that through my sacrifice, I can benefit not only myself and my family, but I can benefit others. And so that's the simple call here. If you're stealing, stop stealing. Go out and start working so that you can help. You can be a positive influence on the body. And verse 29 reminds us of the power that we have of words. We've got that old expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's a lie. Words, the effects of words, stay with an individual much longer than it takes a bone to heal. The effects of words stay with an individual much longer than it takes a bone to heal. Dads, moms, remember that with your children. Young people, who are thinking about starting a family, remember that. When you have children, any person of influence in your life, remember that when you are speaking with them and speaking to them. You young people, when you are in school, you don't know what's going on inside of a person's life, and sometimes it's easy to make fun of people who are different. But that can tear down. And those words that you might have forgotten the next day stays with that individual and becomes a canker, a sore that continues to fester in their life and continues to bring negative thoughts to them. Words are powerful. Take time and think about the words that you say. Goes back to how angry we can get and how that is a dangerous emotion to dwell upon, because anger brings out words that's just like pulling the trigger on a gun. You can't go and catch those words and put them back. They're out there and they are going to destroy and damage because you can't chase them down and bring them back. So be careful of the words that we say. Ask for the grace to allow the power of your words to be encouraging, building up the body, encouraging individuals. We can be encouraging and still bring correction to an individual. We do that through continuing to give our lives over to Christ so that we know how to talk in peace, so that we know how to confront an individual in love. What does Scripture say? Speaking the truth in love. That's what it's talking about there. Be loving as we correct, so that we can be encouraging and not destructive in our words. And that's what he talks about here, grieving the Spirit. What is grieving the Spirit? We are God's house. God's Spirit dwells within the lives of each person who has put their faith in Christ. And so we are God's house. Scripture calls us the temple of the living God. If someone came into your house and started saying and doing derogatory things about you or to you, that would be a disrespect to you and to whoever lives in that home. And so the same thing happens here to the Spirit of God, because no matter where we go or what we do, that Spirit is there with us, because God does not leave us once He comes to us. If you have come before God in faith and have received Christ as Savior, that Spirit stays with you. And so whatever you do in that body, you're doing it in the presence of God. There is no hiding place. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. Don't be people who grieve the Spirit. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to people who have received Christ as Savior. Don't live your life in such a way that Spirit is ashamed. But live your life in such a way that Spirit is delighted. Take on the positive characteristics that God wants to give to you instead of dwelling and being that old person. See the importance of having that, the relationship and the Word of God to come into you and to richly dwell within you and to build you up and to fortify you. See all of those things. And allow that Word then to make us a positive reflection of the image of God. Because when we leave this church, when you go back to your school, when you go back to your workplace, when you go back to whatever it is that you do in your life, we who have Christian been given that name, we are a reflection of the church. We are a reflection of the body. We are a reflection of the character and nature of God. The world looks at Christ's body just as the world looked at Christ's body when he lived and walked here 2,000 years ago. They saw a reflection of the nature of God. And the world looked closely and examined him closely. And he stood their scrutiny by remaining true
to what God had called him to do. And so that is what we strive for, to remain true to what God has called us to be as a reflection of his body. Let me just leave you with this. The last verse in there. Well, last two verses. Let me just read them to you straight out of Scripture. And this is my last encouragement to you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for your grace and your mercy and love. And Father, we lift up to you today all that you want us to be, asking for your help in this. Father, continue to teach us what it means to be your body and your image. Continue to come before us with your grace and your truth and your strength, that we might be the reflection of your nature that you have called us to be, that you desire us to be. We ask your Spirit's help, and we ask this in Christ. Amen.